to come. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do pray, Lord, that you'll help us to remember the great sacrifice that was made by Jesus Christ that we might receive forgiveness. May it break our hearts one more time, Lord, to remember how much love it took for him to humble himself more than any man, any human could ever humble themselves. Lord, he humbled himself for us. He took so much abuse for us, Lord, and he died and shed his blood for us to give us forgiveness of sins. Let it speak to our hearts today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's an amazing thing. You turn on your Christian radio or TV in this day and age, or you go to the average church, and over the years and over the months, you'll hear dozens and dozens and dozens of sermons where they hold over people's heads the wrath and the judgment of God, threatening them with mortal terror if they should happen to commit the unpardonable sin. And, you know, one church might say that it's this, one church might say that it's that, another church would say that it's something completely different. Personally, being the positive thinker that I am, personally, I approach this from a very, very different point of view and a very, very different attitude or aspect. I'm not so much concerned about that one unpardonable sin that I might someday somehow commit that nobody can really put their finger on. I'm far more concerned with the Lord Jesus Christ, who said in verse number 31, and there's two sentences in verse number 31, because there's a colon, meaning a complete sentence with an additional sentence added to it. He said, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men." Now in my mind, let's get the first statement he makes in verse number 31, and if we have to, we'll deal with the second statement he makes in verse 31. I am thankful today to God that the Lord Jesus Christ said all manner of sin, all manner of blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. I thank my God for that today. Now, you know something? You might say the unpardonable sin is this. Because, why? Because that's the one sin that you never committed, and you don't think you ever would do such a thing. You might say the unpardonable sin is that, because that's the one thing you're never even tempted to do. It never ceases to amaze me. You hear these fellas who have never in any way, shape, or form even been tempted by nicotine. And yet they rant and they rave about cigarette smoking all the time and won't dare touch the sin that they know that they are guilty of. They never preach about that one. Now, whatever this unpardonable sin might be that you may commit or may not commit, to me, in my mind, the central issue in verse number 31 is this. There is a Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, who always speaks the truth and cannot lie, the Bible says. And that Lord Jesus Christ said all manner of sin. I don't know what your sin has been. I know what mine have been. I don't know if your sin has been like mine, but I do know you have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. There's not a one of us here today that can say, I have not committed some manner of sin in my life. Thank God, Jesus Christ said, all manner of sin can be forgiven. Thank God for that. Now, he didn't say all manner of sin can be undone, because there are some sins that can't be undone. He didn't say all manner of sin can be made up for. There are some manner of sins that cannot be made up for. He didn't say all manner of sin can be retracted and taken back. Most sin cannot be retracted and taken back. But thank God, all manner of sin can be forgiven through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I tell you something. I find that a great joy. I find that to be a great comfort. If I was to make a list of all the sins listed in the Bible, and God made it so that all my life would flash before me, there wouldn't be very many that I couldn't put a check mark beside and say, I committed that one, I committed that one, I committed that one, I committed that one. You know something? Seated at the right hand of God today is the Savior, Jesus Christ. And every sin on that list, you might not have committed all of them, but he can check next to every single one of them. Paid for, paid for, paid for, paid for. He can go down the whole list and have paid for each and every sin, each and every blasphemy. I thank my God today that there is a Savior in heaven who forgives all manner of sin and all manner of blasphemy. Now, do you know something? I may not know what kind of background you've got economically. I don't know what kind of background you've got socially. I don't know what kind of background you've got religiously, most of you. But I do know one thing. Your background is a background of sin. I know that between the day that you were born and the day you walked in that door here today, you have committed sin. Now, you know something that ought to fill your heart and fill your soul to know that Jesus Christ said, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven among men. That's my only hope today, friends. And that's the truth. I don't know what your hope is. I don't know what your confidence is. My only hope is that there is a Savior who forgives sins. I gave up a long time trying to make it right, or trying to get it straightened out, or trying to undo it. Okay, I've turned over enough new leaves to build a compost pile as big as this building. That will not do it. That stuff won't work. I need forgiveness from the only one who can give it. Thank God, Jesus said there is forgiveness. All right, let's look into this then. Let's go to Ephesians now, chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I'll tell you something, where would we be without the blessed word of God to reveal this truth to us? Amen? Ephesians chapter 1. Now the context here is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me show you. In verse 1, you've got Christ. Verse 1, you also have Christ Jesus. Verse 2, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, Christ. Verse 5, Jesus Christ. Very clearly, no question who we're talking about in this chapter here, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 1. Okay, with that in mind, in Ephesians 1, look at verse number 7. The Bible says, in whom, who's that? In Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. How about that? Now, how is it that the Lord Jesus Christ can pronounce, all sin will be forgiven. How can the Lord Jesus Christ pronounce all blasphemy shall be forgiven? Well, you know as well as I do that God is a holy God, he's a just God, he's a righteous God, and God is not going to allow sin to go unpunished. Sin has to be paid for. Listen, if sin isn't paid for, then God is crooked. If sin is not paid for, God is perverse. This is what they tell you out in the streets. They say, you can't tell me that God loves a murderer just as much as somebody who never killed anybody. You can't tell me that God loves a rapist as much as he loves anybody else. Listen, you know by nature that sin requires payment and sin requires punishment. And if God did not require payment and punishment for sin, he wouldn't be a holy and a just and a righteous God. He would be a pervert. He would be wicked. He would be evil to let little babies get murdered and nobody have to pay for that. To let people go in and kill people and take all their possessions and no payment be required. No payment has to be made. A payment has to be made. But the Bible says, if I want redemption, that is, if I want the purchase price paid to God on my behalf, there is a purchase price. There is a payment that has been made to God on my behalf. And that is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have forgiveness through my works. I don't have forgiveness through my good deeds. I don't have forgiveness through church membership. My works, my deeds, and my membership, those are the things that got me in need of forgiveness. I have redemption. I have the forgiveness of sins through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's it. That's all it'll do it. There's this big time radio preacher. I'm not going to tell you his name, but he put out a bunch of books saying that the blood of Jesus Christ doesn't have anything to do with salvation. That you're saved by the death of Jesus Christ. Well, let me tell you something. That Bible says right here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7, without the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not have redemption. You do not have the forgiveness of your sins. You must have your sins cleansed. You must have your sins washed away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In so much that the Bible tells you in 1 John chapter 1, and verse number 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. God's agent of forgiveness. Our forgiveness was procured at the cross of Calvary. All right, the next one. We're going to read a pretty big passage here in Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. We'll read here a sermon that was once delivered by the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 13, and we'll begin at verse number 17. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they desired a king. And God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher, but God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Now, just for a second, the Bible says in Romans chapter number 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Apostle Paul, he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that the gospel that we preach is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Then they held a great council in Acts chapter 15, the apostles and the elders, and they said, Now, is salvation by grace through faith, or is salvation by grace plus works? Do you have to trust Jesus plus the law? Trust Jesus plus good works? Trust Jesus plus obey commandments? And they concluded at the end of that council, and they bounded on earth, and God bounded in heaven. They said, We believe that by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. And in Acts chapter 13, Here we just read it. We have the Apostle Paul. He's preaching that message. He showed them how that according to the scriptures, Jesus Christ died. He showed them how that according to the will and the power of God, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And then his conclusion, his summary, his invitation, if you will. He begins in verse number 38, Acts chapter 13, verse 38. He says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." Now what does the apostle say by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here? What does the Holy Spirit write and preserve for us unto this day? Justified. To be justified is to be declared righteous. Now I'm a sinner. We've established that. You're a sinner. We've established that. How can I stand before God and say, I am not a sinner? I am absolutely righteous. How can I do that? My own works? Keeping the law of Moses? That can't do it. The apostle says, hey, Jesus Christ died to pay for your sins. Jesus Christ rose from the dead as a testimony from Almighty God. I have accepted that sacrifice. Do you want God Almighty to be able to declare you righteous in the day when you stand before him? Well, all right. That's what we're preaching. We're preaching this man, Christ Jesus. If you'll believe on him, you will receive from God the forgiveness of sins. That is salvation. That's salvation. Salvation is not, I've never sinned, I've tried hard, I've done good deeds, I've kept the law of Moses. That's not salvation. That's useless stuff there. He said, you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. You can be justified. Your sins can be forgiven if you believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is not you. Salvation is not church. Salvation is not deeds. Salvation is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in the same book, Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter number 26. Say, Brother Bob, I believe in God just as much as the next man. Jesus Christ said, you believe in God, believe also in me. That's what he said. John chapter 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. You say, well, I believe in God. Jesus said, you can't get to God, to the God that you believe in, unless you believe also in me. Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul again speaking. He's telling what happened here in verse number 12. He said in verse number 12, whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And we were all fallen to the earth. I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. In me. All right, you say, Brother Bob, I'm blind. How do I get my eyes open? Verse number 18, faith in Jesus Christ. You say, Brother Bob, I'm in darkness. How do I get in the light? By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I'm held by the power of Satan. How do I get freed to live a holy and a decent life unto God? By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the key is Jesus. And Jesus, who holds the key, he unlocks that door and he gives you, blesses you, bestows upon you the forgiveness of sins. The Bible says, and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. See, we got all this talk today. Don't you want to go to heaven? That's a wonderful inheritance. Don't you want to walk the streets of gold? That's a wonderful inheritance. Don't you want to dwell with God forever? It's a wonderful inheritance. Don't you want to have all the joy of God's kingdom in eternity? That's a wonderful inheritance. But the inheritance that it is actually a secondary matter, because you have no part in that blessed eternal inheritance until you first receive the forgiveness of sins. Thank God that forgiveness of sins, that the purchase price, it's already been paid. Can I ask you something? What could you pay to God to get your sins forgiven? What could you do for God to get your sins forgiven? Listen, if it took the blood of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to redeem you, you are not going to impress God with anything you do. And so the thing to do would be to just receive God's forgiveness of sins. You know, it's a funny thing. I might say something that offends you. You get mad at me. And so I come to you and I say, Brother, I didn't know what I said would offend you. I didn't know it would hurt you, but I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. Would you forgive me? And you know something? A Christian who's really walking with God would probably say, well, that's okay, brother. It's under the blood. I forgive you and I love you. Okay? But you know something? You know it as well as I do, that a carnal person or an unsaved person, they'll say, yeah, you might apologize, but, well, I tell you what, it's going to be a long time before things are going to be right between you and me again. But I tell you, they just hold on to that. They harbor it, that thing, hold on to it. That root of bitterness is in there, and it gets bigger and bigger, and pretty soon they decide, you know, God doesn't want me to come to church with you anymore. And, you know, God doesn't want me to live right anymore because, you know, that guy said something or did something that I didn't like. You know something? You say, oh, that's terrible. It shouldn't be that way. But you know something? There's a lot of people in this world today, including preachers in pulpits, who are telling people, God may have forgiven sins, but he's still going to hold that stuff over your head, and you still got to make it up, and you still got to show God you really meant you were sorry. Now listen, if you despise in a person, if you despise that quality in a person, how much more evil and wicked would that be in God, that attitude, if it was in God? God doesn't say, come to me, trust my son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll forgive all your sins, but P.S., I'm never going to forget them. No, that's not forgiveness of sins. You know what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is no condition, no clause, no footnotes, nothing. Okay? Forgiveness is, I accept your apology. The slate is clean. It's just as though it never happened. That is real forgiveness. And you know it. And that's the forgiveness you receive from God Almighty. Listen, there was a day when you told the Lord, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. Would you forgive my sins and save my soul? I'm telling you, if you got down on your knees tonight and you said, God, I'm sorry about what I did, God Almighty, if he would speak to you audibly, if he did it that way, he would say, I don't know what you're talking about. I've got absolutely no record of that whatsoever. Because it's forgiven. I mean, God doesn't forgive and then write a note next to it that says, paid for by Jesus, but watch him, he might do it again. God takes the blood of his son, the Lord Jesus, and covers all your record, all your sin and stain with that blood. There's nothing on your record but the blood of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's real forgiveness. And that's what you get from God. You don't get this halfway business. You don't get this thing where God, he's got his hand behind his back with his fingers crossed, you know. God washes your slate clean in the blood of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, lest some angel of light should come along and tell you, I got something else you need to do if you expect to stay saved. You might as well put down right now, when Jesus Christ, think about this, when Jesus Christ went to that cross, every day of your life was yet future. He paid for all your sins before they were ever committed. Okay? And they're all taken care of. These fellas, they got a Jesus that will save you up to this day, and then you put them back up on the cross again for something that you might do tomorrow. No, sir. No, sir. He died once for all, finally, and forever. He paid for all the sins. When you come to Jesus Christ, you get full forgiveness of your sins. He'll never get on that cross again. All right, turn to 1 John chapter 2. And we'll finish up with this. 1 John chapter number 2. You probably have heard of Martin Luther, haven't you? Martin Luther, he said that while he was translating the scriptures into German, that there were several occasions when he honestly believed that Satan himself actually came into his study to try to mess him up, deal with him. He said he believed it was Satan himself and not just some unclean spirit or some little boogeyman, but Satan himself. And, well, I can't prove it. He can't prove it. But I would say that the work that God called Martin Luther to do and the work that he was doing certainly would make Satan want to try and put a stop to it. No doubt about that. So it wouldn't surprise me. But anyway, Martin Luther said, quote, I used to get down to pray, and Satan would just flood my mind with accusations of sins that I'd committed and things that I had done. And he said, finally, I grew so weary in striving with him, and a light dawned in my heart. Well, that's the Holy Spirit right there. And he said, the next time Satan started accusing me like that, I waited till he was all through, and I said, why, Satan, I can name a few sins that you missed. And he said, Satan mocked me and said, well, then how dare you call yourself a child of God? And he said, you and I might know about a lot of my sins, but if you go talk to God about it, he's got no record of them whatsoever. It's all been cleansed by the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So listen, point being, your old friends, they're probably going to remember your sins. Your family might remember, your neighbors might remember, the people you go to church with might remember. But if you died and were carried into the presence of Almighty God right now, if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, God remembers one thing and one thing only. You received his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior. That's the best news that I got in a long time. As a matter of fact, they call that the gospel. They call that the good news. And you know something? If everybody would get a hold of that good news, it would shut down the newspaper and the TV media and all the rest of that stuff. Because all they've got is bad news. You need the good news, the news from the Bible. I remember 23 years ago when Vladimir Putin replaced Boris Yeltsin as president of Russia. And everyone was saying, oh boy, maybe he'll bring peace to earth. No, he didn't, did he? Maybe he'll bring better conditions. No, not really. Maybe we can stop worrying. No, you can't. Listen, the one who's going to bring peace, the one who's going to bring joy, the one who's going to bring happiness is not going to be elected by a ballot or a secret conclave. He is the one sitting at the right hand of God the Father. You want peace? Receive Jesus. You want joy? Receive Jesus. You want happiness? Receive Jesus. If not, forget it. It's not going to come from the White House or the Congress or the Senate or any of the rest of that stuff. It's going to come from Jesus, the good news right here. All right, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You say, well, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I'm a Christian or not. The Bible says, if you believe what is written in this book and respond to it, you can say with all honesty, my sins are forgiven. My sins are forgiven. Look in chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5. I bet you know these verses. Verse number 11. 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Okay, now watch this. A 5-year-old child can read this next verse of scripture containing only one syllable words, every one of them, one syllable. And a 5-year-old child can know the way of salvation from the Word of God in one syllable words. Verse number 12. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's just that simple. Do you have the Son of God? If you do, the record that God gave says you have right now as a present possession, you have eternal life. If you do not have the Son of God, it doesn't matter what else you have or don't have. You do not have eternal life. Verse number 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Okay? Now listen, if you're religious, you might think I'm bragging. If you don't believe the Bible, you might think I'm crazy. But I'm going to stand before you here today and say, I have eternal, everlasting life. And I know it. I don't hope so. I don't wonder about it. I'm not trying the best that I can. I know I have everlasting life. You see, well, wait a minute. I'll bet you're a sinner just the same as I am. I may be a sinner, but I have a Savior who has forgiven all my sins. And because I have received that Savior, I have, according to the record that God gave, I have eternal life. Now, you know something? If you have eternal life, you have more cause than anyone who has ever lived to be happy every moment of every day, because whatever happens in this world, you have a home awaiting you yonder in glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy. Praise his name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray today, giving you first of all a great big thank you from the bottom of my heart for your sacrifice of giving your Son to die on the cross for all of my sins, that I might receive your forgiveness of those sins, and that you might justify me, declare me righteous before you because of the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you that you gave me your holy words in this holy Bible to tell me what I must do to receive your forgiveness, and to tell me about my Savior, Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anybody here today that's never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that you've been doing a work on their heart, and you've made it clear to them today, helped them to see their great need, helped them to see that their only hope of eternal life, their only hope of heaven, is if they put all of their hope and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice on the cross for them. I pray for the salvation of souls today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.